أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين، واللعنة الدائمة الأبدية على أعدائهم أجمعين. ربي وفقني وسائر المشتغلين للعلم والعمل الصالح بحق محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters, with Islamic laws, inshallah we'll start ala barakatullah. With Islamic laws, we reach to within issue number 329. We were talking about things which invalidate the ablution, the wudu. What are the things which invalidate wudu? This is very important to us. Why? Because each person of us is facing such issues every day, and he has to know which things that make his wudu, his ablution, is void. Number one is passing of urine. Passing of urine, it makes your ablution void. Two, excretion also makes your wudu void. Number three, passing wind from the rear also makes your ablution is what is void. And number four, asleep. What a kind of sleep? All kinds of sleep, do you mean or not? Asleep deep enough to restrict sight and hearing. However, if the eyes do not see anything, you see, but the ears can hear, wudu does not become void. So the kind of sleeping that your ears also, you cannot, while your eyes is closed, your eyes are closing, also your ears, you can't hear anything from around you. But if you closed your ears, if you closed your eyes, but you are listening to what's going on around you, in this case, this kind of sleep is not what is not making your ablution void. Okay. Number five. By the way, Mr. Ali, I asked about the 1,000 Iraqi bill and the $100. And we talk about it yesterday. It is not a problem, because this is out of this fatwa. One of the Imam, I think Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, they asked him, oh Imam, we have the money and we touch the money, especially when we are not on ablution, we don't perform wudu, or even the ladies, they are on hayd, you know, they get usually, as Imam Sadiq, he said, it's okay. It's okay. So within this tale, within this riwayah, so it is normal if you touch the money without ablution, even the money has the name of Allah, or it has the verses of Holy Quran, just like the $100 that they wrote in God We Trust, or the 1,000 Iraqi dinars they wrote the Ikhlas verses. Okay, is that okay? Okay. Number five, things on account of which a person loses his sensibility. We talked about it today, as well. Sayyid Abbas Sayyid said that they know about it and they do know that it is not right to touch it. No. I asked in the istifta'at and they answered me, especially Sheikh Ahmed al-Safi, and he told me there is a riwayah, there is a tale, it gets the money out of this verdict. It takes the money out of this verdict. It is just like riba. Riba, it is haram, okay? All riba and all kinds, it is haram. Yes. But then there is a tale tells us that there is no riba between the husband and his wife. There is no riba between the father and his son. No. It's okay. No, it's okay. You can touch it without making ablutions. Okay. This is the verdict. It is especially with the money. No. They know. And Sheikh Ahmed al-Safi, he told me why about this. And we know when we have a verdict, it talks, this is in usul. In usul, if you have a general verdict, okay, then everything will be under this verdict. But if there is a riwayah or tale takes some of these, what we call it, afrad, masadiq, from this verdict, out of it, just like riba. I told you, riba, it is haram. Generally, riba, it is haram. But between a husband and wife, there is no riba. Even it is a riba, but it is allowable. You see, between the son and his father, it is allowable. You see? Okay. Now we came to number five, things on account of which a person loses his sensibility, like insanity, intoxication, or unconsciousness. In these things, if somebody falls in, loses his sensibility, like insanity, intoxication, or unconsciousness. In this case, in all these cases, if he do ablution and he became insane, okay? So his ablution is what is void, or he is drunk, or he is unconsciousness. So he also his ablution before this situation, if he performed ablution before this situation, then he fell in this situation, so he lost his ablution, so his wudu is invalid, void. Number six, istihaza, which will be dealt with later. Istihada, definitely with istihada, we have three kinds of istihada, not hayd, istihada, because a lady or a woman, the adult woman, they see different kinds of blood, one of them, the blood that the lady see when she gave a birth for a baby. This is what we call it, blood of nifas, and the blood that she used to see it every month, what we call it usually, or hayd, and also the blood that she sees, istihada, not hayd. Maybe she see it, maybe she doesn't see it, and she see it with a specific or special circumstance. Maybe she is tired, maybe psychologically she is tired, maybe she started off the work at home, or she faced something which makes her tired, so she can see these kinds of blood in istihada. And istihada itself, it is three parts, which is little istihada, which is middle istihada, which is too much istihada. Each one of them has its own rule, has its own hukum. We will deal with this later on. Number seven, janaba. And as a recommended precaution, every state which requires ghusl. It means if a person, he is on janaba, and not only janaba, but say Sistan said, as a recommended precaution, every state which requires ghusl, in this case he is out of ablution, and his ablution is what is void, is void. Now we came to something which is completely different. We'll talk about jabira wudu. Jabira wudu, ablution of splenet. Ablution of splenet, the splenet with which a wound or a fractured bone is bandaged or held tight, and the medication applied to a wound, etc., is called jabira. Now, you know what is jabira? You know what is jabira? Okay, so let's see Yahya if he got the idea of jabira. Let's see Yahya, and we'll ask you to write us the definition that you see it is suitable. Okay, he said that. Okay, let's see Yahya, do you understand what I just said? I repeat the definition. The splenet with which a wound or a fractured bone is bandaged or held tight, and the medication applied to a wound, etc., is called jabira. Okay, yes, that's it. Yes, that's it. Yes, yes, okay. The same. Mr. Ali, you said it is a bandage is better. Ah, yes. But sometimes we put a piece of food or metal in this bandage in order to keep the hand or the broken bone straight. That's why they call it jabira. Yes, okay, bandages, okay, yes. But sometimes we don't have bandage, doctor usually cover the splint with. Yes, you are right, absolutely you are right, absolutely you're right. But sometimes if you don't have bandage or something like that, maybe you use what, a piece of cloth, okay, with two pieces of wood. That's it. For that he described this situation, in order, if he said only when it is on doctors or on hospitals, so how about the people out of hospital in a jungle or something like that? What shall we do? So he talked in generally, in order to cover all situations in hospital and out of hospital. Okay, now issue number 330. If there is a wound, you know, all the time, Mr. Ali, all the time, the jurist, when he talks, when he tried to define something, he tried to let his definition takes all the what, all the what we call it in Arabic, in Arabic masadiq, I don't know in English masadiq, all the individuals under it, all the individuals under it, not let one individual outside of this definition. That's it. So if there is a wound or sore or a fractured bone in the parts on which wudu is performed, it means the face, the head, the face, the right or left hand, and the feet or the head. And here, for example, in all these parts of wudu, there is what? There is wound, sore, or fractured bone. And if it is not bandaged, there is no bandage. Look, he came back to your word. It is not bandaged. Then one should perform wudu in the usual manner, okay, if the use of water is not harmful. So if he has what? If he has wound or sore or a fractured bone and it hasn't bandaged yet, so he should perform wudu as normal situation, okay, if there is no harm from using water. Within issue 331, if there is an unbandaged wound, if there is an unbandaged wound, sore or broken bone in one's face or hands, okay, and if the use of water is harmful for it, one should wash the parts adjoining the wound from above downwards in the usual manner of wudu. Okay, and it is better to pass wet hand on it. Okay, if it is not harmful to do so, therefore he should place a pure piece of cloth on it and pass a wet hand over that cloth. But in the case of a fracture, tayammum must be performed. So we cannot go directly to tayammum. If it is possible to perform wudu with unbandaged wound or sore or broken bone, so we have to do the normal wudu. We have to perform the normal ablution. Ah, really? Okay, so I repeat it again in order to check it. If there is an unbandaged wound, I have wound on my hand or on my face, or sore, or a broken bone, but they are what? They are not bandaged yet. Okay, on face, one's face or hand, and if the use of water is harmful for it, and it is harmful to use water. For example, there is a scar or a wound. If you put water on it, that will be harmful. Harmful like what? That makes the heal time more than usual. If you put water on it instead of, for example, a week, this wound will be healing. It will be 2 weeks. So in this case, this exactly delay healing. So in this situation, you don't need to use what? Wudu. So one should wash the parts adjoining the wound. He has to do what? Ablution. But one should wash the parts adjoining the wound from above downwards in the usual manner of wudu. Okay, so how about the wound, the sore, the broken bone? And it is better to pass wet hand on it, which is not the wound, but the other part of non-wound or non-broken part, if it is not harmful to do so. Therefore, he should place a pure piece of cloth on it. Now, it is the wound, okay, and pass a wet hand over that cloth. But in the case of a fracture, how about the fracture? Tayammum must be performed. Okay, we have two pictures. We have what? Wound and sore. with wound, and so we have to wash the parts which are around it as normal, and the water from the water should be from the above, from above downwards. Okay, while the wound is what is covered with a piece of cloth, and pass wet hand over that cloth. But the in case of fracture, it is a broken bone with what, with a scar, with a cut of meat, a broken bone with cut of meat. So tayammum must be performed. Tayammum must be performed. Is that clear? Okay. Now we came to issue number 332. Within this issue, if there is an unbandaged wound, I have wound, and this wound is what is unbandaged, or sore, or fractured bone on the front part of the head. Okay, so I have unbandaged wound, or sore, or fractured bone on the front part of the head, or on the feet, the places where we wash, or the places where we wipe, and he cannot wipe it because the wound has covered the entire part of the wiping. The wound has covered the entire part of the wiping, just like the front head, the front part of the head, the feet. Or if he cannot wipe even the healthy parts, he cannot wipe the healthy parts, maybe because of blood all over it, and he cannot remove or clean the blood from the other parts, so the healthy parts, then it is necessary for him to do tayammum. In this case, when it is difficult to wipe or to wash, or this wound covered the entire part, or even the other part, he cannot wipe on the other part, which is healthy part, because of blood. So in this case, he should do what? He should do tayammum. It is necessary for him to do tayammum. Okay. And as a recommended precaution, he should also perform wudu, keeping a piece of a pure cloth. Look, precaution. With recommended precaution, he should what? He should perform wudu, keeping a piece of pure cloth on the wound, etc., and wipe that cloth with the moisture of wudu in his hands. You see, now within issue number 333, if the sore or wound or fractured bone is bandaged, okay, if the sore or wound or fractured bone is bandaged, and if it is possible to undo it, to remove that bandage, okay, to undo it, and if water is not harmful for it, and if water is not harmful for this wound, okay, one should untie it, and then do wudu, regardless of whether the wound, etc., is on his face and hands, or on the front part of his head, or on his feet. He should undo. Yes, he should undo it and perform wudu. If it is not harmful for him, he should do that. He should do that. As a verdict. Yes. Issue number 334. If the wound or sore or the fractured bone which has been tied with a splint or a bandage is on the face or the hands of a person, on the face or the hands of a person, and if undoing it and pouring water on it is harmful. That means we cannot remove the bandage. It will be hurt, or maybe it will delay healing. Okay, and pouring water on it is harmful. He should wash the adjacent parts, which is possible to wash the closest part to the wound, to wash it, okay, and then wipe the jabira, then wipe the bandage. Okay, I think it's enough for tonight to stop on this, on issue 335. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين.